Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Take the opportunity to go to our website, www.theunionedge.com. You can sign up for our e-activist newsletter, or you can download a free app for your iPhone or your Android, and we appreciate that very much. Joining us now, we've got Rick Bloomingdale, president of the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO. Rick, welcome back.
Charles, it's always a pleasure to be on the show.
Rick, thank you for your help and your support and coming on and talking to us about what's going on. You know, we had you on late last week. We're talking about Senate Bill 166, 167 here in Pennsylvania. What's the status? Where are we at? And what do we got to do?
Well, the status is the way the Senate works, they have to consider a bill on three different considerations, three different days. And what they did was once they moved it out of the state government committee, they then moved it up a day and then re-referred it to appropriations, which is where it sits now, although they are scheduled to call a meeting of the appropriations committee today to move those bills back to the floor, which will then put them on third consideration, which means they can run them at any time. So we really need folks to, and I've been astonished and astounded and very pleased by the activity going against Betsy DeVos in terms of the Department of Education. I've been getting lots of emails and texts from the National AFL. I've taken action and called and asked Senator Toomey to vote no, but you know, we need a little bit of that activity at the state level as well, because, you know, look, Betsy DeVos would be a disaster for the Department of Education and public education nationwide. And that's a big national fight, and we have to make that fight. But they are also doing, and this is where they get smart, is while we are working on those big issues, they quietly try to move state issues, right? State paycheck deception, state right to work, like they did in Kentucky, like they're trying to do in New Hampshire and they're trying to do in Missouri. So unfortunately, we're asking activists to take a lot of different roles. First, we're asking, of course, to call and oppose Betsy DeVos, call Senator Toomey. Senator Casey's already said he's a no, a strong no, and we need to get Senator Toomey to do the right thing and vote no. But while we're focused on that activism, we got to take a little bit of time, too, to focus on the state activism. And we need folks to call their state senators as well, because this will be up. It's not, we need about nine Republican senators and all the Democrats to kill this bill. So if we can get it to a tie, of course, we have Senator Mike Stack, who can, ties fail. But if it's a tie, certainly Senator Stack will be with us. Or Lieutenant Governor Stack, no longer Senator Stack, Lieutenant Governor Stack would be with us and kill the bill. So we need everybody to make those calls at the state Senate level. And unfortunately, the way our state Senate works, they really don't want to hear directly from the public. So there's no switchboard like in Washington. You can call a 1-888 number and connect with any U.S. senator in the country. People need to go to a website like ours, Pennsylvania AFL-C, PAAFLCIO.org, and click on who their legislator is and then take action. And we will connect you directly with your state senator with an email. I think there's a phone number on there well for that individual senator. But if you can't get through at in their Harrisburg office, call their local office, because those folks, they're your neighbors. If you live in Senator, let's say Wagner, the guy who's trying to kill us, if you live in Senator Wagner's office, you call that state office, the district office, they're your neighbors. They're much more attuned to that kind of pressure than maybe the professional person in Harrisburg. That local person, you know, your kids may go to school with them, you may know them, they're going to be much more sensitive to the plight of the workers than perhaps the Harrisburg staff. So I would encourage people, plus you save money on the long distance, although I guess with cell phones anymore, that's not really an issue.
Yeah, it's not an issue. As a matter of fact, many of us were trying to scramble on how to find a fax machine to send something to Senator Toomey.
Right.
You know, so the long and short is it's not as easy to do. They don't have the centralized number, but they do. You know, there are numbers on the PA website.
Yes, and if you live in a particular area, let's say you live in York, you can easily just Google Senator Wagner's York office, and it'll give you that local number right there. I know we're asking people to take a little more time than just dialing an 800 number, but again, sometimes activism takes a little bit,
yeah, it does.
Especially when the legislators don't really want to hear from their constituents. By making you take those extra steps. They've never put in an 800 number in the House or the Senate, State House or State Senate. The email, to send an email is hard. You have to do sometimes they'll have their direct email, but more often than not, you have to do a web form or some other kind of way that cuts down on access. And even better, if people have the time at lunch or most of the offices close at 5, so it would have to be at lunch. Stop by that state senator's office and just say, look, we need them to vote no on 167 and 166. If they could do that, well, lunch has passed today. But, you know, we really need to make those calls and keep the pressure up. One senator told a building trades guy, he said, oh, that's not your issue. And our building trades member said, I'm sorry, Senator, any attack on any union, brother or sister, is my issue, and I would appreciate it if you vote no on this when the senator tried to say, oh, it's just public sector we're going after, which
well,
is
let me ask you this. I mean, Rick, you know, I'm not taking a shot generally at state senators and state reps, but, I mean, did that state senator not realize that, you know, injury of one's injury to all?
They don't. It's an old strategy by conservatives, divide and conquer. They'll tell one group, oh, look, I'm not out to get you. I'm just out to get the other workers. And, you know, in the past, although that's not true in the last 20 years in Pennsylvania, perhaps in the past they've been able to pull that off where they've been able to divide and conquer and say, look, we're going to provide jobs for you. We just got to take care of this public sector union. And our guys and gals, they get it, right? They get that an injury to one is an injury to all. But a lot of our elected officials think that, oh, if I take care of this one group, they're not going to hurt. They're going to still write me checks. I'll just screw this other group. And the fact that the senator realized that he was screwing another group is pretty remarkable because they claim that this isn't about anti-worker attacks. They claim that this is a way to save the Commonwealth money because it costs $100 to set up dues deduction for 80,000 people in the state of Pennsylvania. So this state senator clearly said to the building trades guy that it is about screwing one group of workers. It's about screwing public sector workers. And he was very blatant about it. He didn't even pretend it was about cost savings. Didn't even make that argument. He just said, look, this isn't about the building trades. We're going after public sector unions. And the thank goodness our building trades leader was a guy who said, this is about all of us. If you hurt one, how do I know you're not coming after me next? Because that right-wing caucus will come after all of us. So people get it, right? You know, they came from, what's the saying, right, Niehauer? You know, first they came for the Nazis, or the commies, and I wasn't a commie, so I said nothing. Then they came for the Jews, and I wasn't a Jew, and I said nothing. And then they came for me, and nobody was left to speak for me. So, I mean, it's a big, long list, right? I'm just paraphrasing.
Right.
And that's, you know, everybody in the labor movement gets it. This is not a time to remain silent.
Right.
This is a time to speak up.
Yeah, and let me toss this at you. You know, I did call my state senator, Cameron Bartolotta, and I talked to her chief of staff, who's a career professional, staffer. And I got reassurances that the state senator was not going to co-sponsor and not going to vote for either SB 166 or SB 167. Now, I don't know this staffer, and I really honestly don't know, have not been in the same room with my state senator. But my concern is that perhaps I got a snow job from that staffer. What do you think those odds are?
Well, do you remember the staffer's name by any chance?
It's her chief of staff.
Katrina, does that ring a bell?
Yes, that's it.
Well, she comes out of the Commonwealth Foundation, which is, of course, no friend of workers. But, and look, she's a decent human being, and I think, but what we're hearing is that Camara, however you say it, she is against the constitutional amendment, but she's for the statute. Let's not forget Senator Wagner put a lot of money into her campaign. But I suspect since she's up next year, she may be trying not to seem so anti-union. I mean, she voted on these bills in the past, so she's certainly been there taking a shot at us in 2016 when they last ran this bill.
So she's up next year. And so we got to make sure that we have somebody in place.
Well, look, if we're not a party, so if Senator Bartolotta over the next year or so shows that she's willing to work with workers and vote against these terrible bills, then we will take a look at her overall, her whole record, not just right before her election, but her whole four-year record, and we'll make a determination then. But yes, there should be, if she goes against us, whether it be in the Republican primary or the Democratic in the general, again, I got to be clear. This labor movement have a simple philosophy. If you're for us, we're for you, regardless of party.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if the chief of staff was right and she's going to be against both of these bills, kudos to her, and we'll take a look at our whole record when time comes. But hopefully there are options. The worst thing that could happen is she be unopposed, because then there's no pressure whatsoever.
Right.
So, right, somebody's got to be out there recruiting candidates and doing that. But our job is to get her to vote no, not to start.
And I get it. And, Rick, when we come back, we'll talk some more about this, because this is important. And these tactics are designed to undermine the ability of unions to do their job and possibly force the union to the point where they can no longer statutorily fulfill their obligations. So we'll talk about this when we come back, and we'll talk about why this is so important to all working people in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, not just those people in a union, okay?
Good deal.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Hey, this is Charles Showalter, host of the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. I want to talk to you about an organization I'm proud to be part of, the Union Veterans Council. My friend, Will Fisher, runs the program. Will, he's a Marine and a member of the Painters Union. Will and the Veterans Council bring folks together and advocate for issues that are most important for veterans, especially the need for good jobs and a strong, fully funded, fully staffed Veterans Administration. Additionally, the Union Veterans Council works to remind folks that attacks on workers are attacks on veterans. Veterans and workers are one and the same. When vets like myself get out of the service, they're looking for a good family-supporting job. That's a union job, and the Union Veterans Council is the tip of the spear in the lead for these fights. In short, the Union Veterans Council stands for a better life and fights for those who have fought for us. You can learn more about the Union Veterans Council at www.unionveterans.org. That's unionveterans.org.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community. On the phone with me today, we've got Rick Bloomingdale, president of the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO. Rick, welcome back.
Charles, it's great to be back, and we get to continue this great conversation.
Absolutely. Rick, just as a small matter of clarification, could you tell us what SB 166 and 167 are?
Yes, they are what we refer to as paycheck deception. They are, now, they're a little bit less draconian than they were just 2 weeks ago. The constitutional amendment 167 had actually had it, if it passed in two consecutive sessions and passed on the ballot, would have completely eliminated unions' abilities to negotiate dues deduction in their contracts. It has since been amended to where unions cannot, so it's the same as 166 now, which is statutory, which will goes through the normal process of passing the Senate, passing the House. If it does, we're going to try to beat them, and it goes to the governor's desk. The bills would do would say that we can't use any dues money for political purposes. Now, already it's illegal for us to use dues money to contribute to candidates, but what they've done is defined political activities is any activity that involves non-collective bargaining. So if we want to do a charity drive for the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts of America, we couldn't use any of our union dues to do those kind of nonpartisan activities. They also include this is one of those unintended consequences. Their target is voter registration drives, get out the vote drives, educating our members about where how legislators vote on certain issues. It prohibits us from using dues money to lobby for health and safety, for rights for our members. Say, you know, our people who work in prisons, we couldn't negotiate for safe staffing levels, or our people in hospitals to negotiate for, you know, health and safety rules and clean air rule, you know, and being away from the, you know, dangerous needle sticks and those kind of things. Basically, it says we can't use any dues money to lobby for any kind of anything, basically, that we would have to raise that money separately. So it's a real attack, an attack on our right to do, our ability to do our job, and our right to advocate for our members.
Right. And at the same time, you as an officer within the AFL-CIO, if you were not out strongly advocating for the interests of the membership politically, legislatively, so on and so forth, you could be held liable for not representing the interests of the members.
Well, that's exactly right. In the National Labor Relations Act, there's a thing called duty of fair representation, which says that because they allowed us to have an election, which whether, you know, when we win, everybody is in the union and benefits from the union. Just like, you know, when we have an election in the U.S., We're all, you know, whether we voted for Donald Trump or not, I didn't, but he's now the president of the United States. I don't get to say, well, I'm not going to pay my tax money now because I don't agree with Donald Trump. So it says, okay, everybody's a member, but the union now, whether that person voted for or against the union to come in, the union now is required to represent everybody. You don't have to pay dues. You can be a fee payer where you don't pay full dues, but we still, if you get in trouble on the job, if you have a boss who decided on one day that you were 1 minute late, and he decided, and you had, other people had been 1 minute late, but he decided he was going to write you up that day, the union grieves that. And whether that member, that person is a member or not a member, we're required to represent them, and we'll do so against unfair bosses like that, right? We don't care.
Right.
We care about enforcing the contract, making sure everybody plays by the rules, that everybody is treated fairly. That's what a union does. It creates fairness in the workplace, gives you a voice at work. So we're required to provide representation to all those people. And, of course, the ones who don't want to pay dues say, well, I'm not the troublemaker. But you know what? You could be, because I don't care who you are. If a boss gets up on the wrong side of the bed, you could be their target today, whether you're a member or not a member, whether you're a apple polisher or a person who just does their job or speaks out against injustice. That boss could take it out on you that day, and you'd have no representation. And, you know, that everybody thinks I'm the perfect employee, but there are bosses who will decide one day that they're going after you.
Yeah.
And that's when you need that union.
And in addition to this, you know, Rick, time and time again, we've talked about this, but when unions do well, the rest of the community does well.
Absolutely. I mean, a rising union wage lifts all wages. And just as we've seen, conversely, that as unions' power has declined, so have wages. I mean, we had a lot of folks who were angry and voted for Donald Trump because their wages hadn't gone up in a long time. Well, it's not because of anything the Democrats or Republicans did or didn't do. Well, it was. They didn't give us a stronger right to organize when they had a chance, the Democrats. But if you look at the history of America, when unions are strong, wages are strong. People could have afford to buy houses. They could decide if one parent wanted to stay home. They could go on a vacation for a week or two every year. They could buy a second car or a boat or something to fish in. And when unions did well, that steelworker in that steelworker town, everybody's wages went up. The teacher's wages went up. The policeman's wages went up because the tax base went up, because everybody was doing well. And as unions' power has declined, so have our wages. And, you know, Donald Trump's not going to save those folks. He's not going to make their wages go higher. The real way to get your wages to go higher is to get a union and to organize and take the bull by the horns yourself, not wait for some elected official to save you. The way to do it is save yourself by joining a union. That's the way to build power in the workplace. That's the way to raise wages, is get a union and negotiate for that gain in productivity. If your boss is making money, you should be negotiating for money. You know, and I don't know how much time we have left, Charles, but
just about 30 seconds.
I noticed one glaring example of corporate America taking advantage of the workers at work. Last night we had a little spectacle called the Super Bowl. And down on that field were guys who were grinding it out for 60 minutes, a little bit more because of overtime. And up in the boxes and down on the field, there were the owners, the guys with the billions of dollars, sitting there beaming and clapping and basking in the glory of the workers. Now, they're going to walk away. Now, look, those football players, they make a good buck. Don't get me wrong. They don't have a long playing career. But that's a perfect example of corporate America. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on.
No, that's fine, and you're absolutely right. But do me a favor, stay in the line as we transition. But we got to get going. I'm up against a hard break. Rick Bloomingdale, president of the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO. Call your state senator, SB166, SB167. Get it done, folks. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.